Yo, welcome to Shy But Limitless
welcome
Podcast.
To the Shy But Limitless Podcast.
Shy, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling amazing. I'm a bit warm, I'll be real.
It's kind of toasty in here.
But Shy But Limitless, man. Do you know what people are going to say? The funniest
what?
Thing.
What?
Oh, two man dev, another podcast.
Okay, like when you say Shy But Limitless, like what kind of stuff comes to your mind? Like what do you think about? Why is it called Shy But Limitless?
Do you know what the funniest thing is? Because in the creative industry, I feel like a lot of people... It's going to get straight in, yeah. We're just cutting.
Why not?
No bullshit.
Why not?
Oh, sorry. No bullshit. We're going to get straight in. Shy But Limitless, yeah. I feel like when you're in this industry that we're in, for a lot of people that probably don't know, me and Joel are sort of in the creative capacity. You're more management, admin-y side. But Shy But Limitless is obviously a bit of a play on. I could talk about the name, first of all, how it all came about. Obviously, my name is Shy, for those who don't know. But Joel, my good friend in front of me, runs a management company that's called Limitless. And obviously it's called Shy But Limitless because I feel like in this industry, it's very easy to hide behind cameras. It's very easy to hide behind phones, this, that.
Definitely.
But even though your personality or whatever is kind of honed in and sort of narrowed down, I feel like your potential is limitless.
Yeah, for sure.
Your potential for growth, your potential for networking, outreach, and being where you want to be.
I've got to make sure there's no sweat patch. That would be insane.
Nah, you're good.
I've got a sweat patch, bro. Am I straight? Oh, is it too much?
Nah, you're good, bro. Just a chat, bro.
Just a chat, but I'm sweating like a dog.
Sweating like a dog.
I look like I'm under pressure.
It is warm outside. I think the temperature in the UK today is it's a cool 21 degrees, so it is warm.
Yeah, you just need to build that up.
So. Yeah, we got Jafar in the building, man. Shout out Jafar, man.
but yeah, that's what I think. But what do you reckon? What does limitless mean to you, first of all?
So limitless just means like it's something I live my life by. So obviously spent about 4.5 years in America. I got the opportunity to go on a full scholarship to America playing basketball. And throughout that journey in America, I was traveling to like different states and different cities. And I realized that there's so much more to the world than what I know. Mm. And like understanding different people's cultures, meeting various different people. Like in 1 year, I was living in Nebraska, for example. And that's like country kind of thing. And the people I met there were just amazing people. Mm. So I understood that there's so much more to the world than what I know. And because of that, when I came back to England, I wanted to, let's do no cameras. Let's go. Obviously coming back to London now, I just realized to myself that, I want everybody to feel that limitless energy. I want everybody to realize their potential. I want everyone to know that they can do it. Mm. And that's a brilliant segue into our first topic. Start where you are. Like, talk to me, man. Start where you are. What does it mean to you?
No, definitely. I mean, before we move on to that, obviously for those who don't know, you said you went to America, Nebraska. What were you doing out there?
Oh, so I was playing basketball out there and doing education as well, which was super interesting. It's a different journey than anybody else knows, and that was coming from living in Kennington, Kennington's Kennington, what I'm saying? It's not like it's the hood or anything, or like, it's not, you're crazy. It's not like it's the hood or it's like a bad place or anything like that, but living in America and coming back to Kennington and then living where I'm living now, like I realized that the energies and the whole environment are different, which is kind of scary, which is also why, like, even bringing up my daughter and stuff like that, like I'm happy that we're outside of like central London where there's traffic, people don't give a damn, like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just happy to, to just be in a space where I really understand that I'm capable of whatever I want to do in this world. So far as I just put my mind to it.
No, definitely. And to be honest, that's all it is. Like, from what I've heard, from what I've learned, especially from me being in industry, we can start that topic in a moment, but I feel like really applying yourself mentally and just knowing that, like, if I want to do it, I can do it. Do you know what I mean? And to be honest, I've learned that more from you than anyone else. Mm-hmm. I'll be so real. And I think the way, obviously, I feel like it's going to be a glaze now, but allow it. But I feel like the way you motivate yourself, you don't realize how motivating that is to a lot of people. I'm sure Jafar can vouch as well.
Can you vouch, bro?
Damn. He's not even listening. But yeah, the way you say, like, if you want to do things yourself as well, you just get it done.
Mm-hmm.
If that inspires me and that pushes me to also do things myself. You can't even imagine who else sees that and gets inspired by that. Do you know what I mean? So I hope you know beautiful. That. But yeah, glaze over. We're now going to move into our first episode. Name is called Start Where You Are, as you already touched on. I feel like, first and foremost, I'm way far away than I feel like I want to be at the moment. I'm talking from a place of personal experience rather than someone who's on the top of his game and top of his role, whatever. Yes, I have the experience that can help me and back me up in this conversation, but I feel like yourself as well, we're both constantly in a state of progression where we're never really going to make it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because we always want to elevate and do better.
For sure.
But I feel like starting where you are is important. And it's important for a lot of these creatives to hear, because if I can start where I was, and if I started from where I was and I'm doing okay, so can anyone else. It sounds so cliche saying, if I can do it, so can you. If they can do it, so can you. But I don't know if you agree, but that's the truth.
Yeah, sometimes, you know what it is? I just think to myself, and this is the kind of mentality that I want everybody who listens to this podcast, anybody that follows my journey or follows your journey, like, I want people to really understand that, you know, my mom always used to say, like, the people that make it and are millionaires, trillionaires, or impactful in their positions and stuff like that, my mom always said they don't have two heads. And back when she used to say it, like, obviously, GCSE's got like two BTEC, I was gonna say two A stars. But you know,
no, we're not laughing.
No, but you know, back then, instead of saying, BTEC, what was the BTEC levels? Distinction. Instead of saying distinction, yeah, yeah. It's the equivalent to two A stars. So I used to say two A stars, two A's, two B's, and five C's. Five C's is kind of crazy.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you know. But,
Holland's
obviously,
Martins.
You're.
No, I'm playing. No, go.
Cutting that shit.
No affiliation.
No, but what were we talking about again?
What were we just talking about?
GCSEs. No, before that. Why did I talk about GCSEs?
What were we talking about? Oh,
those that make it don't have two heads.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Those that don't make it don't have two heads. But what did you say before that?
I was saying about what's it called? Just starting where you are, starting from where you are.
Yeah. So exactly, like anybody that comes to me, so I do like consultations and all that kind of stuff for people that want to start their brands, build their brands, or scale their brands. Now, people come to me and they say, like, Joel, like, my competitors are doing this, that, and the other. I don't think there's a space for me. But I just tell people, you are the niche. That's what's actually crazy. Like, yeah, Amazon, for example, was just a project day one with Amazon written on the wall, and now it's turned into a trillion dollar company. It's insane. But what I tell a lot of people is, you are the actual niche. So rather than you focusing on the fact that other people are doing what you're already doing, look at what they're doing, take notes on what they're doing, and then apply it with your flavor and your style. And I feel like that's the difference maker between people that start their project understanding that they're the niche and people that just sit on the idea for so long. It annoys me when people just, when I hear anyone, like, for example, yesterday we were at his studio, for example, and there was this guy who was like, oh, my podcast, I'm going to start it, I'm going to get it copyrighted, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And I was just like, all of these kind of stuff, to me, mentally, are like, hold you back from doing a lot of stuff. Like, copywriting is an expense, registering your company is an expense. Sometimes you're just not exposed to it and stuff like that. But I just want people to understand that they're the niche, and if someone else can do it, you can do it for sure.
No, definitely. I mean, you know what? Even this podcast, right? When did we discuss this?
This was last week.
Almost less than 7 days ago.
Yeah.
And we're here. We just thought, you know what? The conversations we have, I feel like, could be quite educational to a lot of people. So it's like, why don't we just record it on a podcast? And you were like, yeah, you know what? Why don't we do it? And then by like the next day, you had already sent me like three links to studios. Yeah. And we were like, cool, let's do it. Let's book it and let's do it.
Yeah.
So here we are. And it's like, really and truly, the people that want to do it and get it done will do it and get it done.
Yeah.
And the people that want to wait for the right time and wait for this, wait for that, they're going to keep waiting. Like, even when I started earlier days to like film Shy, I can get into it a little bit. I really and truly just started shooting for fun. Yeah. Like, I didn't have any intention of it becoming a job or becoming something that was going to pay me money or anything. I just enjoyed photography. When I was younger, I was pursuing modeling because I'm sure it's like every ethnic. I feel like every.
No, but why were you pursuing modeling?
What do you mean, why?
I'm just asking you.
Now, hold on. First of all, I'm ugly. Nah, I feel like every ethnic mom's had this phase, though, where like they want their son, daughter, oh, my little handsome baby, you need to be a model. No,
I don't know,
just
but,
never mind.
My mum was sending me to the kitchen to wash up. She weren't doing none of that model stuff.
Nah, so my mom, same with my younger brother, she was like, oh, you guys should do modeling, this, that. My mum wanted to see us on the JDs, the ASOS.
Yeah, of course.
This, that, on Kennington High Street. But then, yeah, I just realized that like a lot of the times I would be like telling my mom or telling my brother or whoever's taking photos, I would be telling them how to take those photos. And when I moved to Nottingham for uni and stuff, and I was trying to build my modeling portfolio, it was the same sort of thing. I was working with photographers, working with this, that, and I felt like I didn't enjoy it. I was trying to live out my mom's dream rather than my own. And then I realized, like, you know what? I like photography. I like capturing moments. And at this point, I really found my boys when I was in Nottingham. Shout out the Mandem, you know who you are.
Is that Cash and them?
No, Cash and them are from here.
Oh, okay.
But you haven't met them yet. They're all from Notts. Yeah. Will, Ariel, a lot of them. But yeah, with them, it was like, we always used to, you know, go out for meals, watch the football, this, that. And I was like, you know what? Why don't I just buy a disposable camera? Because I really love film. I had a DSLR, but I don't know, it was too technical for me. So I would buy a disposable camera and just take it with me everywhere. And I would just take a couple photos here, a couple photos there. And then by the time you develop the roll, there's like a month's worth of like random photos on there. And I just made a whole separate page, Film Shy, which is now Film Shy, and just dropped the content on there. No expectation of anything.
Cool.
For me, it was just like a creative outlet. I was just taking cool photos, that I thought I was cool. And I was like, I need to drop these somewhere. And I just started dropping them on Film Shy. To the point where I started doing that so much where I neglected my main account, which had like 3K, my modeling one. Mm-hmm. And the Film Shy one, I just put 100% into that. Not for money or not for jobs or anything. I just enjoyed it. I just enjoyed the art of it.
Yeah.
And then from then, in Nottingham, got my first ever paid booking, which was like crazy. I think it was like 50 quid. But you know what? As a first booking, if someone's paying you for your service.
When was that? That was probably like 1990.
This was like 2019. What? What did you say? Brother, you're older than me.
1990.
Brother, don't forget, you're older than me, you know?
Okay.
But yeah, 2019, 2020, just pre-COVID, I had my first shoot with like a local artist. Just a studio session, couple portraits and stuff, £50 or whatever it was at the time. Wow, that made me sound old. Whatever it was at the time, I was gassed. And then from that point, I guess my immediate circle and some mutual friends started to recognize me as, oh yeah, Shy, the photographer, Shy, the shooter, Film Shy. The name kind of just stuck. And then I guess I got to a point where I kind of outgrew the city. And I not outgrew the city. I not outgrew the city. That was too far.
My life 50 Cent. Bro said he outgrew the city.
No, that was too
What's
far.
What's that, Nottingham? Fucking hell.
Nah, that was too far. I don't know. I felt like if I needed to grow, I needed to go somewhere bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
a powerful thing you just said, by the way. That's a powerful thing you said. So, and I think it kind of speaks volumes to the reel you posted on TikTok the other day about moving to London and experiencing this, that, and the other. A lot of people don't take the risk. And this comes over to my next point. They don't take the risk because of two things.
Mm.
One, because their expectations are too high for the one moment.
Yeah.
I'll break that down. So when you first start a business, for example, people want it to bang straight away.
Mm.
They're not in it for the journey. They're not in it for the progression. They're not in it for none of that kind of stuff. When I speak to some of my friends, for example, I say, if you're going to start something today, you have to have the mindset that this product is going to be alive and doing better when you're not here. Because if you understand that this thing you're building is going to last, for example, 100 years, then the one day and the 1 hour or the 30 seconds or the 7 second reel you post means nothing to the bigger picture.
It's true.
And another thing you said before that I wanted to question you on is, you know, there's your parents wanted you to be a model and all that kind of stuff, which is amazing. Not sure why, but it's amazing. But like, what advice would you give to someone that, would you just say under your breath?
I said bros violated.
Oh, low key. But you know, I'm showing off. what advice would you give to someone that lives under their mum's household and their mum wants them to be a doctor or a lawyer or this, that, and the other? Because a lot of the time, like, our parents are out of touch.
Yeah, definitely.
Your mum was clearly in touch if you're doing models and all that kind of stuff. My mum? My mum?
Shout out to all my model friends, man.
Yeah, shout out mumsy as well. But my mum, she was not on none of that. Mm. Like, if I tell her I'm going to model, she said, model? Model? But yeah, what advice would you give to a young creator, a young aspiring entrepreneur, or someone that just wants to change their life and take that risk just like you did? What advice would you give to them? So right now, their pressures are, their mom wants them to be a lawyer or a doctor, or to go to this university, or don't study drama, drama's bullshit, study this. Like, what advice would you give to that person?
I think from an ethnic household, from like being from an ethnic household.
What country are you from?
Pakistan. So my dad's Pakistani, my mum's Arabic. She's from Dubai. This topic is quite relatable to a lot of people, especially from ethnic households. Serious. Because we don't always get the, I wouldn't say the freedom, but we don't always get the choice to step out of that norm and do other things. Only because, as you said, our parents are out of touch. So what you need to do is bring them into touch. So that means showing them a bit about, showing them what you do, showing them the results of what you can do. Because really and truly, our parents, you know, same like my mom. I remember when I took some photos of Dami in India a while ago. Shout out to Dami in India. And I remember I was showing my mom. I was like, yo, look how hard these pictures are. Da, da, da. And my mom was kind of like, who's that? Do you know what I mean? And for me, I was like, that's Dami in India. They're like popping. Do you know what I mean? They're cool. They're like really big people. But then to your mom, who's obviously a lot older than us, like, that doesn't mean anything to them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, you need to show them income. You need to show them stability. You need to show them motivation from your end.
For sure.
That's because motivation is very important. Yeah, because when you become a parent, you're a parent. I'm a soon-to-be parent. When you become a parent, the only thing you want to see from your child is determination and motivation. Because when kids are growing up and when kids are going through this stage of trying this and trying that, they tend to jump ship a lot. Oh, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to do this. I don't want to do this anymore. Which isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, it's not.
But if you want to drop what's holding you afloat, for i.e. my example, my full-time job, if I want to drop my full-time job to pursue something that's very like a startup business, they need to see determination and they want to see some sort of consistent results.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you're going to be making a million a day from day one, but they want to see that, okay, you're bringing a cool 100, 150, 200, couple hundred a week that you can keep yourself afloat, especially when you're living at home. A lot of us ethnic kids have the blessing of not paying rent. I was paying our mortgage because my dad felt like I needed that responsibility at a young age. So I had to make at least a minimum a month to cover that. So for me...
You were paying the mortgage?
Our house mortgage, yeah. So my dad was like... So my dad was very much like, if you're going to live at home, you need to contribute somewhere.
How old are you?
This was like... But I was at uni, bro. This was like in the stages of like between 20 and sort of 23.
And mortgage was like
750, 800.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a full-time job.
You had a full-time job.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So I had a full-time job. But that meant if I was pursuing photography and I was pursuing this creative career, I would have to leave my full-time job, which wouldn't even guarantee me £700 a month just for the mortgage alone.
So
just to answer your question, I think it's just motivation. You need to show them motivation, stability, and just show them results. That's probably the immediate ones. It's a big conversation, but sorry, I feel like my hand came in the way. But those are immediate things you can show them to show the proof of, you know. But
I think having open conversations with your parents is very important as well.
Yeah.
One thing that I want to have with my daughter is like be approachable. So just make sure she knows, like, if she wants to take a risk, then daddy's gonna back it. And daddy will back it if it makes sense. I'll be honest with her, I'll tell her the truth and all that kind of stuff. But I want her to feel comfortable enough to come to me for anything. And I feel like that's something I didn't lack it when I was growing up. It was only the understanding element that obviously my mom didn't have. She didn't understand that, you know, on the way to school, she sent me to a school in Croydon, on the way to school, I'm going past Stockwell.
From Kennington.
So Kennington. So I'm already in Kennington. Going from Kennington to Stockwell. Mm. I'm even going to say the bits that are around there. Stockwell. And then past Stockwell, I went to Brixton. Past Brixton, I went through Toast Hill, Upper and Lower. Then Norwood. Then Croydon. And that's where my school was. But obviously, my mum didn't understand the functionality. Yeah, she just saw the head teacher at the time. Mm. Said, "Joel, you are going to this school. You are going to this school."
No option.
But yeah, I just want to be in touch with my daughter. And one thing I say to everybody that's younger or, you know, ready to have kids or going to have kids, like it's a tough journey. Like, mm. It's a tough journey, but like learn from everything you didn't have or you wanted to have growing up. That's one thing I'll definitely say.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, your experiences, obviously, as a child, I feel like a lot of those experiences you want to carry on over because, obviously, my parents, they understand. Like, they're very westernized and whatnot, and they know how it goes. But same with my parents, as I said, they want to see results and things like that. But a lot of parents, even us to an extent, or a lot of new creators don't understand that the creative industry isn't like a 9-to-5 job.
It's not like at it's all. Not like... You better go find your bread.
You better go find your bread. Do you know what I mean? So you can't just wake up at 8:30, be ready for 9, and you clock out at 5 and never think about it again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you're in the same boat. My missus is fuming when I take calls at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
9 p.m. in the evening.
Nah, my missus don't bug out, you know.
Yo, you've got bread, you've got bank coming in, so it's
different. She goes to bed at like 8:39. She's in bed.
So by that point, you're already...
So at that point, I'm on my laptop, I'm on Mac. Yeah, I'm going crazy.
Yeah. So we're in the industry now, so we understand that. So if we grow up now and our kids want to be, you know, they want to own a management company, they want to be a freelance photographer, videographer, we understand everything that comes with it. Mm. If they're taking meetings at 11 p.m., 10 p.m., you know, they're in London all day, they're in big cities all day, they're traveling up and down the country, hopefully they're traveling in and out of this, you know, city and stuff. We understand it because we know that's how it goes. There will still be an element of like, all right, where's your time with the family? Where's your time with this and that? But we do understand how it works because we've been through it ourselves. Mm. And when we do become parents, well, obviously you are now, but when we do get to that stage of like where your kids want to start making decisions and creative paths and business journeys, then we can relate because we've been there.
I've got a question for you.
Oh, God.
This is more interesting now. So
getting juicy.
Sit back, relax.
Message your ex.
What are common lies people tell themselves before starting a business or going on a venture or moving to another place? What are common lies people tell each other? People tell themselves.
If people genuinely in my I feel like common lies, it's not as glamorous as it seems. One thing I would say, you know, as someone who took that leap from going from Nottingham to London to basically like start fresh, it's not easy at all. Like you have to obviously make new friends. You have to build all your connections up again. You have to find your place in the city. So, I mean, you can't just come here and expect everyone to respect you.
Yeah,
absolutely
sure.
Not. Yeah. People have, especially somewhere so fast-paced like London and similar like Manchester and all these big cities, you're a small fish in a big pond.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And not everyone's going to know who you are and not everyone's going to respect what you do straight away.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, again, just like with your parents, you have to show people what you can do. You have to show people what you're capable of. And you need to personality-wise be strong as well. And I don't mean be stush. I don't mean be rude.
Yeah.
What I mean is you need to back yourself as much as you can. Not in a cocky way, not in a thingy way. If you know you're good at what you do, talk your shit. Do you know what I mean? Sell yourself to the point where you feel like your life depends on it. And for me at the time, it did. I'll be real. It did. Like I was taking on loads of free work. I was taking on as many things as I could. And most of it wasn't even for money. A lot of it was just so people knew who I am.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because we're going to touch on this in a minute because I feel like you're the professional on this, personal branding. Knowing who you are will get you way more jobs than what you can do.
Yeah.
Like when people know who you are rather than what you can do, obviously they both play hand in hand, but once people know you as an individual and they know what your personality is like and they know what you're like to be around, that's way more monetarily important than what you can do. So my first couple of years in London were dark. I'll be real, they were dark. But, you know, by the grace of God, we found our way. We pushed through. And yeah, personal branding is very important. So that's one lie, I would say, that people say it's glamorous and it's easy. It's not. Secondly, I would say, if you are going to make that move and transition, or you are going to kind of jump that ship, have something stable before you do that.
Explain.
I'm going to elaborate. Mm-hmm. Elaborate, Bilu. Whether it's a part-time job, whether it's savings, whether it's, I don't know, some sort of cash in hand, like, make sure you have enough dough to keep yourself for the first 2-3 months. Because in my opinion, that was the hardest for me. Luckily for me, I met you like 2 months in to my move. So I was like, this guy was paying me $5,000 a
was
month
it two
from
months?
That point.
You're stupid. No,
I'm joking. Was it 2 months? Yeah, so I moved to London 2023 September.
How do we get connected again?
So we met. So my good friend Ikenna was playing in the Who's Got Game basketball.
Oh, yes.
In a charity basketball game. And he said, yo, come shoot, blah, blah, blah. So I was shooting for his team or him or whatever it was. I had an all access pass. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's where I had met you. I didn't meet you specifically on the day. We kind of like vibed a little bit, like crossing throughout the day. But it wasn't until afterwards that you had followed me, and then I followed you back. And then I was like, then I think we just started talking from there. Couple Hakkasan Nobu dates, and then no, I'm
you
joking.
Dummy.
But then, yeah, I think, as I said, you know, personal branding obviously is very important. Stamping your, you know, stamping both your feet in a new city. And just trying to be around as much of the commotion as much as possible. That's probably what helps big time.
Yeah. A lot of people don't understand the importance of network. And it really grinds my gears.
Network is very important.
Your network is your net worth. Mm. I hate that. That's a saying.
It's a cliche saying, but
I hate the fact that it's a very cliche. It's tacky as hell, but it's so true.
It's so true.
Because the way I was able to like get certain deals and stuff like that was just from knowing someone that knows someone. And that person's probably described me to that person as, oh, he's cool, he's just fun, he's natural, and he does this, that, and the other, da 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 da. So like personal branding is a key element to a lot of success, in my opinion. There's some people that will say personal branding isn't needed, which I can understand. I think Reese from Man Devoir put a story up kind of saying that personal branding can be bullshit. If your product is good, your product is good, which is a fact. Which is a fact. It's true.
Yeah, okay.
It's a fact. If your product's sick, people will buy it.
People buy regardless, yeah.
But I feel like personal branding really makes people connect with what you're building. And 100%. Understanding that there's someone human behind what is being built and what people like is also an addition on top of that.
That makes the whole difference. Yeah.
And that's one thing that even me and you are working on now, just personal branding, making sure people understand who you are.
This is personal branding.
Yeah, honestly, this is big time personal branding.
This is personal branding.
Yeah.
And it's so true on the brand perspective. Like my good friend Arnold, who I just met today, who, you know, you just missed as well. You know, I love the brand, God Made. Shout out to God Made. I love the brand. I love what they've got going on. And they had a pop-up in London a few months ago. And that's where I'd met the boys. And sorry, I already knew about the brand prior. I didn't do too much research into it, but I knew it existed. But then I met these guys the first day at that pop-up, and I was like, the hospitality was just amazing. Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't think that these are the guys who run the brand, considering how well they're doing and how much they're bringing in and how much traction they're getting. I'm saying like Selfridges, Harvey Nichols, Harrods, all these places stock their brands. But these guys were talking to you like the Mandem, like you went to school with them. So I was like,
yeah, even when I was on the phone with him,
it's cool.
It was like love. I was like, say no more.
Yeah, dude, it's cool. Like he's just a good guy. But yeah, same with that. I was like, after that event, I was like, I want to meet these guys separately and just see what I'll go on. So a few months ago, I went to the HQ, chopped it up, this, that, got some content with them. And we've just been locked in since. Even met him today. He was in the city. He was like, bro, come through, let's grab lunch. And now it's like, I mean, this is from them, but now it's like, they pump out GOMs like crazy.
He needs
crazy
to put me on though.
But I'm telling you, we might have to go up to Manchester. Arnold, if you're listening, we might have to come up there. But yeah, your network is your net worth, because now I'm so tapped in with like clothing brands now, in the sense of like, I feel like he's opened my eyes low key, because now if I ever need anything, or if we ever wanted to start a brand, I can just drop him a message and say, bro, we're looking to do this, this, that. Yeah. What's the first steps? And same with photographers and videographers and this, that. I know the journey of that is like, I feel like it's in people's head that like, yeah, I need to be the best shooter. I need to get this person. I need to shoot that person. But it's like, we can all coexist. Do you know what I mean? It's not a competition at all. And when people
don't
say to me,
shy.
Don't be shy, Darian. When people say to me, yeah, like, oh, like, I shoot film and this, that. And coming to London, Nottingham was okay because not that many people were shooting film. But when I came to London, everyone's shooting film. So I feel like for me to stamp myself and find my footing was probably more difficult than anything, because I was like in a sea of people that are already doing this.
Yeah.
How can I be different? And you touched on this already. The personal brand and your personality is what sets you apart from everyone else. Mm-hmm. Like, I respect so many other shooters, and I have so many other shooter friends that are doing similar things to me. Mm-hmm. And we're all doing amazing, but certain people get booked for certain things because of who they are, really and truly. You could see, like, you could probably relate to a lot of people you book for jobs, whether they're working with footballers, whether they're working with a brand, Gymshark, whatever. You will book a certain person, not because of how they shoot or what their photos look like, but
also
how the two people will gel.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
So yeah, I've got a question for you.
Go for it.
I've got a question for you.
Go for it.
So, obviously, shy but limitless. Shy is me. Limitless is you. My whole management side of things, and when you are giving advice to people and clients and consultations, if you are sort of building on that personal brand with somebody, and you are sort of working on, okay, cool, you're great at what you do, you're amazing at what you do behind the scenes, behind the curtains, but now let's push your face out a bit more. How do you navigate that, and how do you kind of work out a plan to like, cool, these are the steps we need to take? Does it vary from person to person, or?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, how would you, it's a bit of an open question, but.
Yeah, first thing that came to my head was like, it's according to the person.
Mm.
So I base everything I do just off of psychology. I'm a big psychology guy. Mm. So essentially, like, I look at why people make decisions rather than making a decision, pulling it in front of people and hoping that people buy into that,
yeah.
If that makes sense. So in terms of psychology, I see the person, I see their personality, I see how they are as a person, I see what kind of, I just kind of imagine what kind of stuff would work for them. For example, I wouldn't put someone that's quiet on a podcast.
Yeah.
Whereas if this person's a painter, for example, I'll just do like BTS shoots of them actually painting and enjoying what they're doing, them in their zone, them in their element, if that makes sense. And we'll kind of work out from there. Like if I have to ask questions to just stimulate that kind of conversation, that's the kind of stuff that I'll do. Mm. But a lot of my decisions are based off just psychology. So how are people going to receive this information from this individual person, if that makes sense?
So you're, so to an extent, you're always thinking about the viewer and how that will be perceived.
Honestly, that 100% guides every decision I make when it comes to like social media or brand interactions or two people coming together to create a project. Everything's about like how people are going to perceive it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course. And obviously, for those who don't know, obviously, Joel's now my management. Jeez. Joel's now my manager, which obviously makes my job a lot easier. But for people who obviously don't have management at the moment, and for people who are great at what they do but aren't too tapped in on the fact that they need to think about how their stuff will be perceived or how their stuff will be sort of, you use the word quite often, digested.
How their stuff will be digested
on socials. How can people be more aware of that, and how do you even stimulate that thought in the first place?
That's an amazing question. Self-awareness. Self-awareness is the most important thing. A lot of people want to start something, want to do something, want management, but they don't understand themselves yet. So one thing I do, and I did like starting up and all that kind of stuff when I came back from America, is I listened to Diary of a CEO.
Great podcast.
Shout out Mr. Bartlett. So listen to that like almost every day. Listening to different CEOs. Every single one of them said they failed at a certain point. And that makes me feel good.
Definitely.
It makes me feel amazing. Because anytime something flops on my end, I'm just like, this is all part of the process. So I listened to a lot of podcasts. I read books. I read The Alchemist. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
The cocktail bar, Alchemist called.
Yeah. What did you read? Wait, what are you talking about?
I said that. It's an Alchemist at the cocktail bar.
Oh, you're moving, man.
But it's called the dry ice and everything.
You're done.
like a bad beat.
Rich Dad Poor Dad, is that it is? Rich Dad Poor Dad. Yeah, Rich Dad Poor Dad. That's it's been years now. Mm. Psychology of Money. Mm-hmm. Really good one. Psychology of Money was a really good one.
I need to get my read on, man.
Yeah, but for me, I started off reading and then I started listening to podcasts when I started engaging in all the kind of stuff that I was reading on. Mm. So that meant I had less time. So then I had to look at pockets of time. A lot of people don't understand that they do have time. They swear that they don't have time, but they do. Yeah. So then back then, when I was getting on the train and stuff like that, I listened to a podcast. Even if I'm standing on the train, it's in my ears.
It's in your ears,
It's in my ears. In the car when I'm driving, put on a podcast rather than listening to music.
Yeah.
Like there's always opportunity to develop that self-awareness aspects of stuff.
Definitely.
And in developing that self-awareness, you will learn stuff that you don't even comprehend that you understand. Mm. I used to fall asleep listening to certain podcasts. So that kind of stuff is just attacking my brain. And then by the time I wake up, I know something new, but I don't know what it is.
Don't listen to it.
But honestly, like, there's always time. Before thinking of like management or what do I do next and all that kind of stuff, do the work on the inside. Mm. And even till today, like, I'm not perfect at all. Like, I still listen to podcasts till today.
Yeah.
I listened to Diary of a CEO today. He was an FBI agent. He looks at people's like body movements and body language and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, really interesting. And it's not that I want to be an FBI agent. It's just that if I'm able to encompass all these different understandings of being a human being, I think I could be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And as my mom says, like, those that do it don't have two heads. So all this information from all these different heads is now in this one. And that's the way everyone should take it. We got 4 minutes left. Any closing advice, information, knowledge you want to share?
I think obviously this is just episode one. So it's very brief, very short. I think it's more so just for the people to kind of like, as I said, personal brand, hear our voice, get familiarized with who we are, what's going on. We may not have covered everything that we wanted to, but I feel like it's a good entry point that, you know, start where you are. And this is kind of where we're starting, where we are. Do you know what I mean? This
Fuck
is
it.
Like, you know, for people who think I'm super big, Joel's super big, like, we're just like you lot. Do you know what I mean? We're starting where we are, kind of thing.
Still grinding.
So what I would say is, in this industry, it's nonstop. You got to keep pushing. You got to keep working. You have to remember that people only show you what they want you to see.
Yeah.
That's the main one.
Yeah, damn. I wish you could dig deeper on
it. I know. I wish you could dig deeper in it. Like, episode two, you got to lock in. But yeah, people only show you what they want to see. So don't be sort of influenced or demotivated or whatever just by watching other people on Instagram, because they're not showing you everything.
Even me, like, if you guys think I show you everything, you're sick. You're crazy. You're crazy. Like, I'm really working on myself every day. Like, I'm not,
you have to, yeah, me too.
I'm not the best when I say best person on earth, I mean, like, every human makes errors, you know. I'm still learning to constantly be in the head frame of just being the best that I can be.
Definitely.
And obviously, even consistency wise, like, there's days where I can only give 10%. That's all I got in me. But one thing that I do is give all of that 10%.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's going to be some days where you feel 5% and you feel zero. Mm. And the most important thing is just embracing that shit you feel down, understanding that you feel down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just trying your best to get out of it. Like,
capitalize off of it.
Like, 3 weeks ago, for example, like, I had a whole like 3-4 days where I was doing nothing. I was just playing PlayStation on the phone to my friends, like, but I needed that.
You're just taking L's.
I didn't know I needed that.
You're yeah, getting dunked on 2K
just getting cooked. Just getting cooked. I couldn't believe it. It was getting worse. Shout out Ryan. It was getting worse.
Did your controller survive or?
Bro, dashed it. But like, obviously you get times where you do feel down.
Yeah, yeah.
But the bounce back is crazy. Pause. Sorry.
No, but you know what they say? You have to be at a low to get to a high.
Never heard that, but that makes sense.
You have to be at a low to get to a high. And sometimes when I am at a low, or when I'm at a stage where I feel like nothing's going the way I want to, it's only going to get better.
Do you know what I mean?
It's not going to get better from you waiting for it to get better. You need to do the right things and act the right way and put the right things in place to allow it to get better. But on that note, episode one.
Shy But Limitless. Episode one.
Shy But Limitless.
In the books.
In the books.
stay locked in with us, man. Stay locked in, man. What's your socials?
Guys, Film Shy, every platform, TikTok, Insta. For those who know me, obviously amazing. For those who don't, film.shy, film.shy.
My Instagram is Joel Ufele, so Joel Ufele on all platforms, I think. Definitely on all platforms for sure. And then in my bio on Instagram, you can get connected with like my other businesses, even on LinkedIn as well. It's Joel Ufele, same thing.
Is your Feet Finder the same app?
Is my what?
Feet Finder.
What's a Feet Finder? Yo, shout out everyone though. Much love. I hope you guys love this, man. I hope you guys really appreciate what we're about to do here. Episode 2 on the way soon.
Peace.